All right, and thank you for that. And welcome back to the show. I'm Rick Tittle, coast to coast, around the world on the American Forces Radio Network. You might remember Ken Golden is the star of that Netflix series, King of Collectibles, The Golden Touch. And that's G-O-L-D-I-N. It's now an eBay company, and they've gone over $1 billion in sales. They do a lot with basketball and baseball as well. But we are here to talk about a very interesting auction. It's Hollywood Props and Memorabilia. And this is already on. It began on June 30th. And here to talk about it from Golden Auctions is our guest, Joe Mo. Joe, welcome to the show. And, you know, I mentioned briefly how Ken got started in all this. When did you guys start getting into Hollywood and getting some of these amazing, iconic memorabilia props?
Well, you know, Rick, when Ken gets a bee in his bonnet, he goes for it, and that's how he dominates the sports field now in collectibles and auction. And he's just like everybody, you know, whether you like stamp collecting, theater, gardening, or kickboxing, everybody watches movies. So we all have that collective experience, and Ken's, no stranger to that himself, and always wanted to get a foothold in that market. And I've been doing this for about 20, 25 years, and one of the luckiest guys in the world. I get to handle all this stuff, and my pleasure is in sharing it with everybody, because whether you can afford it or not, I mean, I always like to say we sell these things to, you know, to people that can afford the stuff. I can't, but I get to love it for a moment. And, you know, we all have that same experience, and Ken has just decided to go full bore ahead in making a big department that specializes in Hollywood props and memorabilia.
We all remember, I was 16 years old when Raiders of the Lost Ark came out in 81, and it was one of the greatest things I've ever seen, and of course it changed Hollywood forever. And in the scene where the Nazi throws him out of the truck window, he grabs a Mercedes-Benz logo, it folds, he goes under the truck, he goes all the way under the truck, it's got the Ark in it, he whips the back of the truck, he pulls himself up by the whip. That whip is being auctioned off. That's pretty amazing.
It is an amazing prop. Now, I've handled a lot of great props, and I'm happy to tell you that I've handled a number of Indiana Jones whips, one of his signature sidearms. And as you probably know, and most of your listeners know, you know, in a movie, they've always got to have doubles, triples, and sometimes even more, because these things are used so much, they wear out, you never know what's going to happen. But it's very rare. In fact, I don't know another instance where you have a scene-specific whip, a prop that you can identify to a particular scene in a movie, which means you can certify that it was actually used on screen. And in the case of this whip that you're describing, and listen, what you described in your memory as a kid is what everybody visualizes when you say the dragging whip. You know, everybody knows, oh, that's the one where he was hanging from behind the caravan. And it's got the wire, the special effects wire that threads through it, so one end can hook onto the chassis of the vehicle while the other is attached to Indiana Jones, or in some cases, his stuntman also was dragged behind by this whip. And it's a really, among special props, it's a really what we call a holy grail item, you know, for collectors.
Some other great ones as well. You've got Luke Skywalker, Mark Hamill's lightsaber hilt from The Mandalorian. You got a Star Trooper helmet from Rogue One. And as we know, I mean, as much as Indiana Jones is sought after, the Star Wars universe is exponentially bigger. So what's it like having props like that?
Well, you know, you mentioned, you know, again, you started the ball rolling with saying, as a young person, I remember this scene and this franchise. All of these multi-generational titles hold memories. We're not really selling stuff. You know, other collectibles can be transactional and you make an investment, but the things we're selling are really vessels that hold memories for all of us. And when you talk about Star Wars and we talk about a multi-generational title, it continues today. That means maybe it was the first movie that your parents ever took you to. Maybe it was the last movie your grandparents took you to. Maybe it's the first movie you took your kids to. So it's the gift that keeps on giving. And when you put a lightsaber hilt on your mantle, I dare you to find a person that will pick that up and not start going, waving it around, because it summons this memory of this experience that we all shared sitting in a room in the dark watching this adventure together. So that's kind of the beauty and the magic of this space when it comes to, you know, Hollywood movie collectibles.
I know a woman who has all the Harry Potter books, and she has kids, and she doesn't allow her children to touch the books. You know, I thought it would be the antithesis that she would read them. She's like, no, those are mine. So it can get pretty serious. So Daniel Radcliffe, absolutely, Harry Potter himself, a wand from not just the Sorcerer's Stone, but Chamber of Secrets. That's a pretty cool item.
It is. And I mean, you know, they make beautiful replicas. So to get an original is really special, and to get one that, you know, where you know the film that it came from. And, you know, truthfully, you know, even in some big productions, some props can be used throughout different, you know, entries in the franchise, more than one film. But to know where a prop came from and that it's authentic, as opposed to some of these beautiful replicas that are nice to have too, is pretty special, and yeah, and very coveted. I know that one of the first edition Harry Potter books sold for $500,000 alone, $500,000 for a book. And, you know, and there have been others that came after it that sold for a little less, but I think that's the record, is $500,000 for a first edition of Harry Potter.
That's crazy. You got an Iron Man mask, the MK3 helmet from 2008, and it's battle worn. I remember, you know, playing high school football, we used to compare the paint marks on our helmet, like saying, oh, look at the wars that I've been in. And it's I think it's a lot more legit and cool than a pristine, beautiful helmet.
I agree. I mean, anything that shows the patina or the wear that goes into production. And if you think about that mask, there have to be several different types made. A hero prop is one that is the beauty prop. It's easy to conceive of that when you talk about weapons. A hero weapon might be one that actually fires blanks and that operates, and you go down the line to stunt props, which are made out of rubber so that they don't injure the actor when they're running around, but they still look great. But in the case of these Marvel Universe products and relics, you got to remember, they must have made one for Robert Downey, they must have made one for a stuntman. One would be fiberglass, hero beauty. One would have to be soft so it didn't hurt the stuntman. One might have to be made of foam rubber, but they all have to have different levels of distress, as we call it, studio distressing, because we're not really seeing the effects of an actual battle. We're seeing the artist's, you know, impression of what would happen, and that has to be replicated in every single version of that mask at that level of battle and distress. So the craft really becomes apparent when you collect this stuff. It's not only incredible memory for you, but it's also kind of the best artists in the industry working together to make this thing convincing. And that's part of the magic of these pieces as well.
Yeah, continuity is so huge in film editing. One last item I want to talk about, and this is a little before my time, George Reeves' three-piece Superman ensemble, and specifically made for black and white TV as well. This is very interesting. This is this is over 50 years old too. Tell us about this one.
Sure, it is an incredible relic. And if you think about where the comic universe of DC and Marvel have come since the early days of serials and comics, it's pretty remarkable to actually, you know, handle a piece of history like this. Now, all of these colors, it is not, I would call it monochromatic if it was just different tones of one color, but actually the suit itself is gray, which was to represent blue on black and white medium. The pant is sort of a rusty color, which was supposed to read as red in black and white. And then the S is all cream colored around the S, famous S icon, because that was to read as gold in black and white. So all of this was designed to be vibrant in black and white, but it's also, you imagine when you see it up close, it's all made of knit. You know, it's a knit wool. So you can just imagine how uncomfortable it was. It must have been hot under the lights. And they went through a lot of trouble, and actors back then went through a lot of torture in order to create the illusions that, you know, we can do easily with CG and whatnot nowadays. So it is an interesting piece of history. And I've not handled anything of that era that is in this great condition. It's really beautiful.
Bidding for the Hollywood Props and Memorabilia Auction is open through Wednesday, August 6th. For more information and registering, go to golden.com, G-O-L-D-I-N.com. We've been speaking with Joe Moe. Joe, thanks for coming on, man. It sounds like a lot of fun going on down there.
My pleasure. And there's always new stuff. Please come back and visit.